Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Meteor Studios Arena for the inaugural ATT Crypto Crush-a-thon. Have you ever asked yourself if elusive cryptids from the far corners of the globe were pitted against each other in an all-out brawl-out? Which would come out on top? Who would be the crypto king of the ring? Has anyone ever seen a bunyip? What's the name of the cryptid that shoots tentacles out of its metal beak? Well, the theorists have heard your secret askings and now bring you ringside seats. Let the theorists answer all your questions of cryptozoological combat. Join Brayden, Zell, Dan, and Byron for some serious ringside theorizing on what cryptids would reign supreme in the Crypto Crush-a-thon.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 75, Cryptid Crush-a-thon! The championship is on the line. One man's life is on the line.
Alien Theorist Theorizing inaugural bestial beatdown has come at last.
Excellent. Amazing start.
Yeah, I love it. I'm Zach.
I'm Brayden.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Byron.
Byron's back in studio. Welcome back. Guys.
People have been asking about you, bro.
Yeah. They thought you were dead.
Bit of a walkabout. It happens every now and then. It's a bit of a walkabout.
Oh, that's good.
Me and Dan did some Australian accents a couple case files ago, and people almost got enough that they were like, oh, I guess we don't miss Brian so much.
Yeah, you really, it was a great substitute. I can't return the favor. I can't do the Canadian accent.
You should try.
It's funny
when other people try and do our accents. It's almost impossible.
Native foreign.
All right.
you work on it and you get back to us.
We'll come back.
Yeah. You just pop in one time with a Canadian accent. Yeah. Just surprise us.
He's going to be practicing at home for like 6 months, yeah. And when he'll show up, he'll have one line. It'll be perfect, though.
Yeah.
Maple syrup, eh? Sorry, everyone.
I had to.
Was it too bad? Wasn't too bad?
No, it was okay.
Yeah.
Let's get right into some space news! The Kepler spacecraft is back in safe mode as fuel begins to run low. It went into safe mode. I guess it was running out of propellant, so then everything kind of shuts down and it barely runs just to keep going. It has gone into safe mode again, and astronomers fear its mission may be nearing an end. So it might be that might be it for it. It's gone as far as it can. They don't really know how much fuel is still on board, and they're looking at what options they have and the next steps, because I guess it's not really I guess there's no AAA in space.
I mean, they've got a new telescope under construction. I think they just started construction on one that's going to be way stronger than the Kepler.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. But so it's almost done. That's it for it.
How long it's been up there? It's been up there for quite a long time, though.
2009?
Yeah.
It's been traveling?
Long.
It doesn't seem that long.
No, but
it's
I think it's
almost
been
10 years.
How long has the Hubble been up there?
2009.
Well, the Hubble's in like, isn't it? This one was like going deep space, right? Like it was still traveling.
The Hubble's still in orbit.
Yeah, the Hubble's in our orbit.
Oh, I thought the Kepler, that's what they were finding all the planets with, wasn't it?
I think so. But that one's way out there. Like it's.
Oh, I see.
I don't even know how far it is. I closed the window already. I guess there's been a huge dust storm on Mars since June. It's finally beginning to calm down. So NASA says that they might be able to contact the rover soon. But basically, this huge dust storm's been going raging since June, and they have no idea where it is, what it's doing, if it's okay, if it still works. So it's solar powered, so they just have no idea.
Oh, it's shut down.
Yeah, they have no idea what's going on with it. So they're like, if it's buried, it's fucked, it's done. But they're basically, it's we're gonna find out in the next coming weeks. It's a grim space news for all our space tech.
I saw a photo of like an actual person standing next to the rover, and I actually thought it was a lot smaller than it actually is. Like, those things are actually really big.
How big are they?
Like, they're the size of like two trucks, like put together, like two
really
two pickup trucks, like almost put together. Yeah.
Oh, I thought wow. It
like things like big? A tank. Like, it's huge.
I thought it was the size of that, what was that movie, Short Circuit?
No, it's way bigger than that.
It's not as big as Short Circuit?
It's not Johnny Five.
Johnny Five.
Bigger than Johnny Five. It's like five Johnny Fives put together.
Huh. There you go.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
I got a little more positive space news. Jim Bridenstine, he's administrator at NASA, and he's claiming that he wants to have constant humans going to the moon in the next couple decades, pretty much is what he's saying. And they're going to do this by building gateways between Earth and the moon.
Stargate.
Exactly. No, it's what? Pretty, it's, no, it's these like star, oh. These like these gateways, I guess, are going to be part of like an easier way to get to the moon. So they'll be able to refuel on the way.
Oh,
three stations, just
on like a little mini stations all the way to the moon.
Right.
Like little truck stops.
Little truck stops to the moon.
7-Elevens.
I thought you turned like
AMPMs.
Yeah. All the way to the moon.
Yeah, and I guess the first gateway will be like a pretty much a new space station, and it will be permanently crewed.
Oh, to stop and get Slim Jims and Gatorade.
Around 2030, maybe.
I guess that makes sense because you could have people like on it, and then like the mission goes past, comes back, drops people off, picks people up, brings them back to Earth.
Yeah, I don't know the exact logistics of what's going to be, but he made a big speech about how we haven't been to the moon in so long, and you know, obviously the conspiracy people went crazy for it. They're like, of course, why haven't we been to the moon?
Yeah,
and then went down that kind of road again, but
rabbit hole.
It's cool going back, hopefully. And we're going to explore other parts than just like the equator of the moon, I guess.
Well, I got some more moon news. Researchers from NASA say the moon definitely has ice water on its surface. Basically, they believe researchers from NASA, the University of Hawaii, and Brown University confirmed the existence of water ice on the surface of the moon at the poles. And this could provide future lunar colonists with easily accessible water supply they need to survive off-world. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty huge. Cool. Yeah.
A restaurant will never work on the moon, though.
A restaurant?
A restaurant will never work.
Why?
The food will be good, but there'll just be no atmosphere.
Hey!
Another beer.
Yep, sip a beer. That's all I got for space news.
I got
on my end.
I got one other. This is, I laughed at this. This is, I'm only going to read the headline because the headline's funny. A mean robot supervisor could make you a better performing employee. Basically, people are likely to perform better when under the supervision of a mean robot rather than a nice one. I'm like, well, no shit. If, you know, like, I'm going to be getting way more work done if the T-1000 staring me down than
yeah.
Then fucking Johnny Five is begging me to do more work.
Johnny Five.
All right.
Giant hulking robot supervisors.
All right. Let's get into, well, he sneaks around the world from Kiev to Carolina. He's a sticky fingered flitcher from Berlin down to Belize. He'll take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me, where in the world is Mr. Conspiracy? He's in Da Nang, Vietnam.
Da Nang.
Da Nang.
He's going to some haunted houses. Message him on Instagram. He's Mr. Conspiracy ATT on Instagram. Go. Hey,
do you go word for word in that theme song besides Mr. Conspiracy at the end?
Yeah. Why? Well, I changed it.
Well, we're getting sued.
I changed it. Oh, shit. I changed the she to a he, and I bet the pacing's off. It's a parody. That's allowed. Parodies are allowed.
A parody is like every word is different.
Parody is the same melody, but you change the words. That's okay. It's all good. There's already two versions of it. We can't
Is someone still running the Carmen Sandiego, like, cruising the internet for people singing
still
it?
Carmen Sandiego games still come out. Like, I'm pretty sure they still own the license to the song. They don't play the song in the video games, but I'm pretty sure they still own it.
We didn't actually play the song. You just did a horrible rendition of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. all right. Let's get into this UFO case file of the week. Ryan, you want to fire up the X3 there?
Yep. And we're thinking at it right now.
UFO.
Oh, God. UFO. UFO case of the week.
UFO case file of the week's popping up. All right. This week's UFO case file of the week, it's on Men in Black. Here come the men in black.
In black.
Okay, I better not sing that song either because I know a lot of the lyrics.
We don't need two lawsuits.
Yeah. Yeah, we've used that one before.
I don't want to go against Will Smith here. so that this is posted on Reddit by Joy Has Sprung. The title is Old Timey FBI Agent with No Eyebrows and Two Lazy Eyes. All right.
Chameleon.
Joy Has Sprung is, just for context, is a female. So is a woman.
Okay.
Two Christmases ago, I was having a cigarette out in Alexandria, Minnesota, on my mom's property. It's not that far from a municipal airport. Oh, that didn't take me long to fuck up. It's spelled weird.
No, it did not.
So it's not that uncommon to see low-flying airplanes now and then over the farm. But that night, I saw a bright light in the sky, and it moved slowly towards the direction of the airport, and the light was so bright, I couldn't see its shape. It was strangely quiet, and so the first thing I thought to do was get my phone out and video it. I thought I was in video mode, but I was in camera mode. Classic. I took a blurry picture and then switched it to video mode, but the screen froze up, which was normal. I'm just reading it how I imagine she's typing. Like it was taking a pic or trying to buffer or catch up. My phone froze and I had to restart it, but by the time I restarted it, it was so far away. It looked like it was going to land at the airport, so I thought it probably wasn't a UFO. Anyways, that night I posted a long Facebook post trying to be funny, saying that I saw a UFO, but I couldn't get a video on time. And it was probably a conspiracy and probably why no videos of UFOs exist. It was all tongue-in-cheek, but it still weirded me out. It was so quiet for a plane, but it was going to the airport, and I don't think aliens land at small airports, so I rationalized it away. Fuck, man.
Great job.
All right. I came back to LA for New Year's, and New Year's Eve morning, I got a knock on my apartment door. I looked through the peephole. That's peephole, not people. Peephole. And saw this creepy guy wearing a Mad Men era hat and suit, like creepy bald Don Draper. I pretended I wasn't home, but then he said, FBI, open up, please. We know you're in there. His voice, though, sounded like either he was very old or someone had kicked him in the neck and he was out of breath. Hold on. I can do that. I can do that like that. Hold on.
Open up, FBI.
I got to exhale on my breath. FBI, open up, please. We know you're in there. It's hard to explain, but the only thing I can say is that the voice sounded fake. like someone was doing an impression of a grandpa, only doing it really bad. The FBI thing scared me. I had no reason to be, but the first thing that came into my mind was that I had downloaded the first season of Game of Thrones to see what all the fuss was about.
What?
That's why they come for you.
That's pretty high up on the FBI's list of people.
And I had used a torrent site, and while I was there, I had searched for weird porn. The word weird and porn to see what torrent said. And I remember following the rabbit hole and reading a bunch of weird descriptions of weird pornos. I didn't download any, but I clicked on them and clicked on the preview image.
Yeah, okay. I looked for this, yeah, whatever.
This guy, sure. This girl is really like, she's like, she's a lot of information into this story.
I could have just said weird porn and just left it at that. Like,
yeah, could have just left it.
Didn't have to explain it.
She wanted everyone to know that she's a little bit freaky.
I thought maybe he thought I downloaded the porn or it was about Game of Thrones. I started getting anxious. He pounded on the door some more and it freaked me out even more. So I said, "Can I see some identification?" And he looked through the people and he pulled out a badge. But it could have been a toy for all I know. But he knew I was there. So I opened the door and prayed he wasn't a rapist. And that if he was an FBI agent, I could lie my way out of having downloaded Game of Thrones and reading weird porn descriptions. Oh, he was very scary looking. Old-timey clothes, no eyebrows, two lazy eyes, bald. How do you know someone has two lazy eyes?
Well, they're both like looking in the different directions, you know, like chameleon eyes. They're just like one's up to the left and one's down to the right.
God. Wrinkled forehead and neck. I almost peed. He said to me, "I need to talk to you about the flying saucer you saw on the 22nd of December." This weirded me out because my Facebook is private and I had posted no pictures, just the comment. And I thought about that Snowden guy and how we are all being watched, and it really freaked me out. I asked him how he knew, and he said, "FBI knows everything, ma'am." And he walked through the door about 4 feet in and stopped dead. And that's where we had the remainder of our conversation. I told him the story, and he was emotionless and expressionless the whole time. The next part always makes me laugh when I think about it, but at the time, was just so out of left field, it completely tripped me out. He asked, do your breasts produce milk?
What? Oh, my God.
He asked her.
Oh, my God.
And I just said, "No, I'm not pregnant," and hoped this wasn't a rapey pass he was making at me. Then he said, "They're big, but they have no function." like a statement.
Oh my God.
I believe every word this chick has written.
I changed the subject. I changed the subject back to the UFO and I said, "So was it a flying saucer I saw? Was it aliens?" He said, "No such thing as aliens. Forget about the incident." He then asked, "Do you think you have a theory as to why female people look so different from male people?" I was just weirded out more, but tried to play it off as interesting questions. I sometimes wonder why our bathing suits are small and guys' bathing suits are so big. I had been thinking about this. He then said, "Do you think that bathing is the first step in controlling our evolution?" I was like, "Sure, man, whatever." I wanted him out, and it was creepy.
Oh, my God.
But I wanted to be nice and not set him off. Then shit got even weirder. He just went silent, and I was silent. And I was like, it was like he ran out of batteries. I kept smiling at him, and he was not smiling back. I said, "Can I help you with anything? I'd love to help, blah, blah, blah." I was just nervous, blathering. He said, flying saucers don't exist. Don't talk about it. And I said, okay, I won't. And then he said, I can't seem to find the door. This was even weirder. It was just behind him. So I thought he must be joking, and I smiled and said, well, it's right behind you.
Because he can't see with these lazy eyes.
He then asked, can you show me? So then I tried to lead him to the door, and he wouldn't turn his neck. But I got him to turn his whole body around, but it was like pulling teeth. I said, are you okay? Should I call the hospital? And he said, I just get stuck. Not got or get stuck sometimes. It was just, I just get stuck. Which I thought was weird.
I just get stuck.
I just get stuck.
Show me what you got.
Do your breasts make milk? Which I thought was weird at the time. But now that I'm typing it, I guess it makes more sense. He then walked out. I closed the door as fast as I could. My heart was beating so fast, and I was replaying everything in my head so I could get the story down. Some of it makes me laugh, but I was so creeped out. I told my mom, and she said he must have been on drugs. Over the years, I've told some people this story. I've heard FBI agents don't investigate UFO sightings, or maybe my friend was playing a joke, but nobody ever comments on how unearthly he looked. They just assume he's human. To me, the more I think about it, the less human I think he was. That's it.
It sounds like just some weird dude off his meds.
So this started with a UFO she seen that went to the airport.
Yeah, so this was kind of a twofold. It was a UFO she saw, made a Facebook post. Some men in black show up. A man in black shows up at her house.
Two googly eyes.
Do your breasts produce milk?
Why are they so big? They're big with no function.
I was like, oh, yeah.
They got a function.
Oh, it's so stupid. I love it. Oh, God.
Thank you for that one.
The weird thing is, like, her account, like, outside of, like, the hilarity, like, you've got a guy kind of looks out of time. You get the pasty skin, you know, the weird features. Like, all that's, like, pretty common for, like, very socially abnormal. Like, a lot of the Men in Black cases are like that. It has a lot of features. Just most of them don't have the hilarity that ensues with this one.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, God, that's so funny.
If they're aliens, like in some type of disguise, they just do a really bad job.
Really bad job.
It's like the old
horrible job.
Edgar, your skin's falling off your bones.
Is that better?
Pretty much.
Oh, God.
All right.
Let's get in.
Boys, I got to take a shit. So I got to take a shit so bad. I'll be right back. I don't know what I ate. You guys, let's keep going for a bit. I'll do some fancy editing here.
Are you kidding me?
I left Byron with a huge fart there, too. Oh, he's still going.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Meteor Stadium for ATT's inaugural Crypto Crushathon. We have gathered here tonight a full fight card of creepy cryptids from eyewitness accounts and folklore. Here we will be pitting them in vicious combat against one another until one amazing cryptid is left standing.
Woo! Woo woo woo!
I just want to do my. I'm going to be so tempted to do my best Jim Ross through this whole thing. My God! My God! Stop the damn match! Stop the damn match!
Joining me at the announcer table is Brayden.
My God! Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Stone Cold! All right, what's the first matchup here, Dan?
All right.
What's going on?
The first matchup, we have the Thunder.
Oh, hold on. So. You gotta you gotta let us, how are you choosing the fights here, Dan?
What? I paired him up. I paired him up randomly.
Oh, okay.
There's no
random pairings.
Random pairings.
Picked him out. Put him into a random generator.
Fired him out. All right. Well, who's the first bout here?
All right. First bout. We have the Thunder from Down Under, the creepy creature of the Outback, the Bunyip.
My man.
The Bunyip. Oh. The Aboriginal people know him as the devil or a spirit. It is a creepy cryptid with the crocodile body and a dog-like head. Also reported to have feathers, fins, tusks, claws, beards, or even sometimes a duck bill. But the fact is, most eyewitnesses seem to agree that it is big enough to be a true man-eater.
By God! By God!
And in the other corner, we have the scaly scourge of South Carolina, the lizard man of Scape or Swamp. Eyewitnesses have described this 7-foot-tall human-like being having green, scaly skin, 3-toed feet, and 3-fingered hands. First sighted by Mr. Christopher Davis when he was 17 years old in 1988, leaving a lasting impression on the youth as it ripped off his side mirror from his car and badly damaged his roof of his car, but left no other physical evidence. Multiple sightings have been reported of the lizard man, but most people have yet to find any physical evidence.
Okay. So we got the lizard man versus the Bunyip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of swamp monsters.
Yeah, what's the battleground?
Oh, we'll put them both in a swamp.
Because Bunyip's like from the billabongs and creeks and stuff. So
they're both in and out of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amphibious.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys.
I'm not sure. Lizard man might be some. I mean, they are amphibious, but he's not amphibian. I mean, he's probably a reptile, because crocodiles are reptiles.
Now, so we got the reptile man is how big was he?
7 foot.
7 foot.
7 feet, and the Bunyip's probably 10. If it's a man eater,
that'd be about a man eater. I think most. If you're a man eating crocodile, you're probably or alligator. You're thinking, yeah, probably about 10 feet.
This one's a tough one for me because they're so similar, and what it would really come down to for me.
Oh, they're not similar.
Well, yeah, because they're the same. Like, what if the lizard man's a little faster? But if the Bunyip actually has the tusks? But if the Bunyip has duck bill, he's getting fucking pounded.
Yeah, it depends what version of the Bunyip we're talking about.
Most of them don't have a freaking duck bill.
I think probably like maybe one person said it has a duck bill. But when I've seen the Bunyip, it looks more like a four-legged. It walks on all fours. I'm pretty sure it walks on all fours.
Okay.
Usually,
That's interesting.
It's like a crocodile cross werewolf type looking beast.
Yeah.
Gnarly motherfucker.
And this little, what's this 7 foot man's got like, what, 3 fingers that scratches a car? Bunyip's going to smash him.
Well, here's the thing,
biased,
though.
But here's my money.
But like a 6 foot man can wrangle a 10 foot croc, no problem, right?
I wouldn't say no problem, but. Yeah. It can be done.
Yeah.
Valid point.
So I'm saying like a bipod lizard man, he's more agile, I'd probably get around, get on its back, right?
Well, yeah. Now, if it's a biped, it's more of a lizard man, it's probably smarter.
True.
Could very well be true. Unless you take into account the Bunyip's amazing powers of hypnotism. One legend has this creature hypnotizing a woman and keeping her for several weeks as his slave until the spell was broken by a large thunderstorm.
What?
What?
Thunderclap?
What a fucking wild card. The Bunyip pass.
He didn't keep the lady as a slave for the whole time. I mean, he does have hypnotizing powers.
All right. Well,
hypnotizing powers that can be broken by thunder.
Right.
Lightning.
Well, yeah, I guess it could be a thunderstorm or it could be a loud noise.
I still think, well, if it's got hypnotizing powers and those work,
well,
it's a tough one.
What does Lizard Man have?
He's a lizard.
Red eyes?
he's just a lizard brain. Man. The hypnotizing powers might not work on his lizard brain.
Could be, different brain frequency.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Might not work.
Mm.
Nah, he would.
Is he a. Can he like go invisible or teleport or anything cool?
Who? The lizard man?
Yeah.
He'll scratch the shit out of your car.
Unless he's got shape-shifting powers like, reptilians. Because I'm not sure if people are like, they're like, oh, that's like a, it's a lizard man or he's a reptilian. I think some people have kind of theorized that he's a, and it was actually a reptilian this dude saw, not an actual, like a lizard man, I guess.
Oh, that would make more sense. But we're basing the fight on him being a lizard man, not a reptilian.
Yes.
So
it's a cryptid.
I think.
Not an alien overlord.
I think if they matched up and he's got the hypnotizing powers, the lizard man would be itching his belly for him after with his three clawed toe or whatever. I think the bunyip would get him for sure. Hypnotizing powers, that's tough. Especially if you've never met on the battlefield, you lock eyes for a second and all of a sudden you're like, oh, that thing's so sexy, I'll do anything for it. It's like the call of the siren or whatever.
I've seen the bunyip in the water blow bubbles.
What?
Excuse me?
Yeah. So town near where I grew up, we went on a field trip out there and they've got like a little aquatic stuff for the ocean and that. And there is like a little rivulet that comes in from the ocean into the town and you go on a boat cruise. And then apparently the story is that the bunyip lived in the area back in the day. And then as the tour guides talking about it, all the school kids, you know, we're in grade three, so we're like 10, 11, something like that. I can't remember how old it was. But all of a sudden, this big bubbling starts coming up from under the water.
Goddamn bunyip!
Yeah. Kids start freaking out because I think the bunyip's coming to get them. But didn't see him, but those big bubbles make a lot of mess.
Yeah, I don't know. Bunyip, he's bigger. He's got hypnosis powers.
He's the lizard man's freaking three claws going to do stuff all on a crocodile skin.
Unless like this lizard's like super strength or something, but we don't have any, there's no accounts of any superpowers.
A human can damage your car.
Yeah. Like he didn't fuck up the car, he just scratched the paint.
Yeah.
Pulled off the mirror.
He didn't destroy, didn't like crush a roof in, like flat or anything like that.
Yeah, he didn't rip from the,
rip the fucking hood off
took,
or something.
Yeah, what? He didn't take side a, didn't make a hubcap or like a
side mirror.
Yeah, like a wheel well off. He didn't like rip it off or nothing. So yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like a can opener.
So it it looks like the one going home today is the bunyip.
Woo, my man.
Bunyip moves on, representing Australia.
Woo. Yep.
Now is it gonna go in a like a round robin, or like
the winner goes on?
Yeah, winner goes on.
I will have
or is
to.
It, or is it like a bracket?
I will save the bunyip.
It's a bracket. It's a
save
bracket.
Him to the side, and we'll see where we go.
Okay.
Put him aside. I'll put him inside until later.
Maybe that can be the next.
Yeah. It could be next on the next one.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Next. Our next matchup has our sauropod from the Dark Continent, the Mokile Mbembe. The origin of the Mokile Mbembe is traced back to 1909 from a book called titled Beasts and Men. A zoologist named Carl Hagenbeck, in that book, Hagenbeck mused that perhaps there were recently surviving dinosaurs in the undiscovered parts of the Congo in Africa.
So cool.
Right. In the Lingala language, Mokile Mbembe means the one who stops the flows of river. Most people describe this cryptid looking very similar to sauropod dinosaurs that existed during the Cretaceous era. So, you know, think of a brontosaur or something like that, Patasaurus. Right, not a huge one, not a really big one, but pretty big. Probably elephant size. Think about that.
Elephant size. Okay, and right. How do I say the name again?
Mokile Mbembe.
Mokile Mbembe.
Mokile Mbembe. Yep. Does that have a short name, a nickname?
Let's call it Pepe.
Mokile. I guess you call it Mokile or Moki.
Mokile Mbembe. Is that right?
Yes.
Am I making up words?
That's exactly how it sounds.
Okay, Mbembe, I want to go home.
All right.
All right. And in the other corner, we have the... stupid. the Barnyard Betty, the Goat Man.
Yes.
Goatman is described as an axe-wielding half-animal, half-man creature that was perhaps produced when one scientist who worked in the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center near Maryland? Prince George's County. Maryland. And he was this scientist was experimenting on goats until one's experiment backfired and created the horrifying mutation known as the Goat Man.
Gross.
So you've got a crazed axe-wielding goat, half goat, half man versus a
Which half is which?
Yeah, which half's the goat? That's going to be a huge factor for me.
Well, the legs are the goat. Well, from what I've seen. What I've seen or what reports are, he's got the goat head and he's got the goat legs and then he's got arms. Because he couldn't have the body of it. He couldn't have the upper body, torso. How's he going to wield an axe?
But then does he have a brain of a, does he have a brain of a man or a brain of a goat?
It's the brain of a man.
But it's in a goat head.
It's in a goat head. It's got horns.
So it's going to be hot as shit because those things headbutt pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
But,
so he's smart.
And now you might think that a giant elephant-sized dinosaur would have the advantage over this his smaller opponent. But some variations of the Goatman legend suggest a more supernatural origin involving the devil.
So we got Devil Goatman.
So we got Devil
versus
Goatman.
A fucking,
It's like when he goes Super Saiyan, kind of.
Right.
So is this sauropod? Is it vicious or is it just like a sauropod, like a plant eater?
It's a plant eater, but like if you pissed it off enough, I mean, I'm sure.
I'm already leaning towards Goatman.
Get the fuck out of here. Let me tell you something. You put some little goat hooves on me, give me some horns, and then say, all right, go kill an elephant. Guess what? I'm getting killed by that elephant instantly.
But you're not a real half goat. If I put goat hoofs on you, you're handicapped.
But what I'm telling you is I'm already half of Goatman. I've got the human half already. I'm halfway there.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the good half or not.
But if you find an adult goat and you fucking mangle me so I'm a little short body on these little goat legs, I'm getting killed by this elephant. And that's even if I survive the procedure.
A 6-foot big man with an ugly goat head, hard as nails, with horns and the brain.
And an axe.
And then the legs of a goat, so he's agile. And have you seen those things jump around a freaking mountain?
Yeah.
Hey, man, he'll jump up a tree and climb and jump on top and like he's
with four legs.
The elephant's
have
head,
you ever seen
dead.
A goat with two legs?
No.
Hey, well, here, I'll settle it. I'd like to see Braden fight a goat. And then see who's. I've seen those goats fuck people up on YouTube videos, man. They're running around knocking a whole village around.
Patreon, pay for a goat for Braden to fight.
So the only way to determine this. So what happens? What happens if the goat beats me? Does that mean that
Goatman wins?
I mean, the Goatman's going to beat the sauropod for sure. Okay, but that'll have to come later, but. I don't know, Goatman seems like he's
well,
agile.
Well, funny you ask, because the next matchup in the right corner, Braden. And in the left corner, a regular adult goat.
Male goat.
Meh.
I don't know. Is it any superpowers? Anything that we should know of?
For the Mukili Mbembe, or?
Yeah, because other one's the devil goat, so obviously he's fucking tough as balls.
Only other strange thing is that there was, legend holds that the Mukili Mbembe's meat is actually poisonous. And they said that a group of villagers once killed one and everybody who ate the meat died shortly after.
Well, see, that's going to, again, come back to a benefit to the goat man, because if it had been like the Bunyip or something who's trying to like their power or strength is biting the enemy, then as they're biting, they may kill it, but they're going to die themselves anyway.
You know what?
They may still
win,
but I like
I'm going to
max.
I think I'll agree with Goatman because I don't think that Mbembe is aggressive. So I think you'd put
no, not aggressive. You got fucking Goatman as the devil too.
Yeah. I mean, so you'd have this thing. It'd be in the state and be like, oh, what's going on? And then here comes Goatman, like probably can climb right up on it. It's like, oh, hey, friend, gives it some pets, then axe it in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, just right in the jugular.
Ah! I'll think it right between the eyes.
What's that? Have you ever seen when goats do that scream? That's what it would do right before it.
I was just waving.
Throwing up the devil horns with his human hands.
I don't know. I think of these sauropods as like just giant cows ever since Jurassic Park, and I don't really think they're going to do well against any type of predator.
Like they're going to try to flee.
Especially the devil.
Yeah, with an ass.
All right, so it looks like the devil-powered goat man is walking away from this one. Victorious.
Hell yeah. Goat man for the win.
Yeah, there's more stuff about him, Satan. So we'll talk about him later. I think that we could do an episode on goat man.
Oh, man, that was like the first, like, when I was a kid and you'd go out and you'd hear ghost stories.
Horror story.
Like, Goatman was the first one I ever heard of when I was, like, a little kid.
I used to tell the story of Goatman, like, all the time. Like, that was, like, my story I used to tell my friends when we were, like, 6 or 8.
Yeah, I probably heard it from you.
Yeah, probably. the Goatman story for me, though, was, like, it was, like, a Goatman guy or a guy who got his leg, like, pinched off in a log jam and somehow came back and died, but he came back as a Goatman and he terrorized children. I used to tell this epic story forever. But he was never the devil in my story, but
just
it should have been. I could go back and retell it.
We'll probably have to put the Goat Man up for the tag team championship with his partner, the Boa Man.
What?
He's also on there.
There's
a Boa Man who is sometimes paired up with the Goat Man.
Like they're friends?
Signs of a Boa Man, half snake, like half human.
He's just wearing a boa?
No, I mean, he's half snake, half human. He's not Jesse the Body Ventura.
That's Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake?
No, Jesse the Body Ventura woke the feather boa. Snake wore a snake. I think that snake bit somebody. Didn't that snake bite somebody?
Yeah,
it
bit Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Great.
Well, Macho Man Randy Savage beats Goat Man. So.
that'll have to... Well, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Ooh, yeah.
All right.
So we're going with Goatman for sure.
Goatman for sure.
Devil Goatman.
Okay. Next round coming up. The first combatant hailing from the wild and wonderful West Virginia, the Smallygaster.
Smallygaster?
The early accounts are from German settlers during the 1730s, which described the community being harassed by a monster that they called Schnellegeist, meaning quick ghost in German. So most likely Snallygaster is kind of just like a... they just kind of...
Work off that.
English, yeah. They kind of just mangled it into Snallygaster instead of Schnellegeist. The Snallygaster is described as a half-reptile, half-bird with some sort of metallic beak lined with razor-sharp teeth, occasionally sprouting octopus-like tentacles. It swoops silently from the sky to pick up and carry off its victims.
Oh, how big is it?
What do you mean?
It's got octopus. Wait.
A little large enough to carry off a human. So, you know, I don't know how big the wingspan would be, but it's probably about...
Wait, so he's got wings, and then sometimes he sprouts tentacles?
Yes, from its mouth.
Oh.
From its mouth.
So he's like that... What's the pirate in the... David...
Parts of Caribbean.
You know what?
Davy Jones or whatever? Yeah.
Is it Davy Jones?
Kind of. Is it? Like, there's probably, like, octopus tentacles, like, that, like, come out of its mouth that, like...
The grab? His grab prey stuff. Or whatever?
Yeah.
Does he have a little... Does that mean he has a little beak?
It has a beak. No, it doesn't have to be a small beak. It could be a big beak.
Oh, yeah, but he has a beak.
It has a huge beak.
Okay. All right. And
huge serrated beak.
And then inside that beak comes
out the tentacles.
Yeah.
This thing's terrifying.
Right.
It's like a chameleon with like...
Yes, so like some type... Does it have an inside mouth like a xenomorph?
tinier beak.
A tinier beak that comes out?
It opens a big beak. It's got tentacles. And then in those tentacles is a tinier beak.
It's a smaller beak, yes.
No? I don't think so. I think the tentacles are like, they come out and they like, he opens up his mouth and tentacles come out, and then they like pull stuff in.
And then he chomps him with his beak.
Who's he fighting though? Before we get too much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Who's the opponent?
His opponent, also hailing from the area of the Zulu, the Inkanyamba, believed to be a large serpent with a horse-like head. It is most active in the summer months. It's believed that the Inkanyamba's anger causes seasonal storms. So this creature is said to be over 20 feet long.
Ooh,
and some, according to some legends, also winged. So this will be an aerial battle, I suppose.
Wow.
So a winged serpent horse.
Yes.
So you're like a flying horse dragon.
Right.
Wait, it's got no teeth? It's got no sharp teeth?
Dude.
Look, horses have pretty sharp teeth.
Go on Google right now and type in horse bite.
Yes, they do.
It'll terrify you.
Horses are terrifying. Those things will bite your face.
Type in Google horse bite right now. It's terrifying.
Hey, they have teeth. I'm saying they have teeth, but they don't have predator like.
I mean, no, they don't have bangs. Yeah, that's true. But like a horse bite is like nothing to fuck with. Like this.
Oh no, like I'll hurt, but like.
A 20 foot, like this is like a 20 foot serpent with like a giant horse head. Like it's like fucking.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
I mean,
that guy goes to pat a horse and just gets dragged.
Don't ever pat a horse you don't know. Man, you know what? In my opinion, just don't ever pat a horse.
Run ice horses.
I mean, anyways. Yeah, 20-foot fucking horse. I mean, it could chomp you in half with its fucking giant flat teeth, but.
Well, I'm assuming if it's that big, it's going to have like a massive head on it to like accommodate the body. And the bite force on it is going to be big. Like they do have relatively. Like incise of teeth on the front horses.
Oh yeah, they chop your fingers off. Chomp your fingers off for
and
sure.
And they've got the big molars sort of at the back too, like the chompers. So like for crushing up the feed and hay and grass and stuff. So like the power is going to be there. It's just kind of get a hold of the
quicker, faster, more agile serpent tentacle. squid bird, whatever it is.
Well, to be honest, I think this fight's coming down to the ground right away because the one that I can't say its name, it gets angry and it makes storms. So like I have a feeling they're just going to get pissed off and the wind's going to blow them both out of the sky, force them to the ground.
Oh, so it's a
ground battle. I think it's like a winged ground battle.
Winged ground serpent.
Can he like once he gets a hold of it, can he just wrap up? What was the first one? Sorry,
the Snallygaster.
Yeah, this Snallygaster. I think the Snallygaster would fuck up this serpent thing because once they're on the ground,
snurpent.
Once they're on the ground, I don't see this horse serpent doing much damage.
It's 20 feet long.
That's true. Does this thing have talons?
Like, if he wraps around it, I mean, it's like you know, it's an anaconda.
Constrictor.
Thing. Like,
that's true.
Exactly.
Did the Snarlygast have any talons or anything?
What?
Yeah, special powers.
Does he have special powers?
Does he have talons or just the squid face?
Just the squid face and the somewhat, they say, metallic beak with razor sharp teeth. It has teeth. It has a beak and it also has teeth.
But no, it can't summon storms like fucking this giant fucking horse serpent.
No, doesn't have storm powers.
Now, what kind of storm powers are we talking? Like this guy's summoning lightning and like directing at his enemies, like fucking Thor, or
The legend says that it does. It causes seasonal storms, but I don't think it controls them, and it can cause storms. But it does say they do say that it takes to the sky annually in the form of a giant tornado. It could turn into a tornado.
Oh, okay. The fucking horse snake's gonna fuck this thing up then.
Because it can just create a tornado.
Yeah.
It probably spins around on the ground so quickly like a serpent, like a snake.
It doesn't really sound like it can control the weather, though.
But if it's...
I mean, it's not shooting lightning bolts out of its eyeballs or nothing, no, but it can turn into a giant tornado.
It can pick up the bloody Smallygaster and throw it across until it's...
Yeah, I mean, I got to go with...
Beat down.
The size difference here is too immense, and he can fucking... Even if you can't control storms, you summon the storms. That's some type of fucking supernatural power right there.
So I would say yes. If it's because this is a seasonal monster in Kanyamba, it only comes out during the rainy season, like before the winning season. So if this were perhaps in the months where it's not so active, yeah, I'd probably go the Snallygaster. just because it's got giant octopus tentacles. Those things are freaking just like...
I like the name, Snallygaster. It's a good name for a cryptid right there.
It is. Actually, U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt had considered postponing his African safari just to hunt the Snallygaster.
What?
It's no joke.
President Theodore Roosevelt,
the biggest badass of all badasses, had considered, like, he wrote, like, an actual, he, like, penned an actual statement saying that he was considering to go hunt the beast from hearing about the sightings.
That guy just couldn't let any species stay alive.
Yeah, dude, he's like, I'm going to shoot everything.
Yeah, he had to kill everything in the world. At least a dozen.
And he could.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't know, because the Snallygaster, so it's got like metallic teeth.
That don't mean shit.
Yeah.
It could saw its way through the serpent?
I don't know.
Like, I'm just like clutching at straws here.
I don't know if it's just a small... It's like a human size Snallygaster.
It's big enough to carry off humans and perhaps small life.
It picks them up and carries. So it's going to be a
little bigger than human. Strong wings. So going with fucking horse head serpent raiding.
Horse serpent, yeah. Just crush this. It's just going to crush the Snallygaster.
That's my vote.
All right.
Serpent horse raiding.
Riding?
Oh, yeah, fucking snake horse, 100%.
All right, looks snake like horse. The Snallygaster is grounded, and the Inkanyamba is taking flight. So Inkanyamba is marked as our fun thing. And that wraps up the first inaugural Cryptid Crush-a-thon.
Cryptid Crush-a-thon.
Is that the four?
That was three. We did three?
We did three?
Battles.
Yeah.
Three battles. I'll put three. I'll say that there's more for later. This is the inaugural one. There'll be other ones.
Okay. Yeah, this is the pilot. This is the pilot of the Crush-a-thon.
Oh, it's a fun theory. I learned about some new cryptids. I don't remember one name. Let me try to repeat them all. Let me try to recap the fights.
All right.
So in the first fight, we had the Mbyup. The Bunyup versus the Lizard Man. The Bunyip came on top.
Hypnotized the Lizard Man, destroyed him. It's over.
Second match was the Goat Man versus the baby. And the Goat Man was victorious. And the third bot was the Unagu versus the
Snallygaster.
Hey, all the names.
I think Dan had to purposely get the hardest names to remember on the first
one. Yeah.
There was no Bigfoot, Dogman, like anything easy.
No, those are for Crypto Crush-a-mania.
Crush-a-mania.
Yeah,
they only
come out on the big main event.
Yeah, you got to bring out the big guns for that one.
Yeah. Well, I learned some new things about some new cryptids. That's nice. Kind of a quick one. Dan, I guess you can't stick around for after hours.
No, I cannot, sadly.
How about...
I like talking about cryptids. They're fucking cool.
So why don't we do after hours?
I got a bunch more, but I put those ones together. But those are fun. Researching these are fun. Even the ones that are just, you know, out of folklore and aren't really substantiated, reading the stories about them are pretty neat. The Snallygaster sounded like legit. Like, it sounds crazy, but there were a lot of sightings and people like were reporting. Some people were reporting like they saw them like actually lay eggs. These things actually laid eggs. You know, capturing livestock and weird stuff like that. So it's like,
the Snallygaster lays eggs? You never told me that. That changes everything.
Oh my god. What?
Well, listen. You got a horse, Nate. The Snallygaster is going to lay some eggs. The snake's going to be instantly attracted to eating those eggs.
It's going to be a Snallygaster, and then son of Snallygaster is going to come back for revenge. It's like a moth, like Mothra Godzilla movie. Snallygaster Junior.
No, it's going to be a Snallygaster is going to come back as the metallic version, just all metal.
Oh, yeah.
Mecha Schnallygaster. when we get to Mecha Schnallygaster, I mean, he's got a chance.
Oh, that'd be sweet. And
he's got fucking jetpacks instead of wings.
He's got laser beam eyes. Oh, yeah.
Laser beam eyes. Those tentacles are fucking charge, lightning, electrical charge.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Okay, one second. This whole episode, I've been wondering what the sound is. Does someone keep moving their mic? Or touching their cord or something? Or what's going
on? No, I've heard that too. That little, like, almost?
Yeah. Like a lot, many times. I don't know what it is either.
I haven't heard it. Maybe it's on my side.
No, I thought it was one of you guys. 100% not me.
It sounded like someone moving their mic around on the table. Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
I'm not moving.
Oh, right there. It happened again.
Oh, and that was mine.
What are you doing with it?
I don't know.
You keep bumping the table with it?
Maybe.
A little bit.
All right. That's okay. That's what it was. I was just wondering. Doesn't matter. All right. Cryptid Crushathon. It'll be back.
That was fun.
More cryptids.
More crush.
More names we can't pronounce nor remember.
Good fight, guy.
It's good shit. Any other news, Braden?
I don't have any news, but let's go to, got some new podcast reviews.
Damn right. We do have a few new ones.
Hold on.
I don't have them up. So you got them up?
Yes, I've got, 3 of them up, and there's one on Facebook. If I can find it really quick, I'll read that one too.
Is that the July one on Facebook?
No, someone just wrote it. And then I thought it was funny what they asked. So first review, 5-star review from, Lil Anyways, USA Space News. Wonderful podcast. Love that you keep up with the excellent topics on a moderately consistent basis.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I consistently keep my eyes in the late night skies of New Hampshire, and for good reason. Tons of extraordinary unexplainables. Sounds like, reminds me of Lunchables. Take care, and thanks a whole bunch. Leo Bibu.
Hell yeah.
This next 5-star podcast review is from Metal Hess from the USA. Period. It's like Trailer Park Boys with intelligent banter. Well,
what are you talking about? Trailer Park Boys has plenty of intelligent banter.
Yeah, tons.
You calling Bubbles not intelligent? Guy's a fucking champion.
And then I got one more here.
We've heard something like that before.
That's a huge compliment.
Love Trailer Park Boys. All time classic.
Then this one. This is from Roanoke 13. Awesome pod. Love listening to these guys talk about anything. They always keep it interesting and funny, and they never fail to blow your mind. It's a nice review.
Nice.
Oh. Awesome. I got one off Facebook. It's pretty funny. I'm going to do exactly the opposite of what he
asked.
Oh,
perfect. That's the one I wanted to read too, so perfect. Do it.
Facebook. Chris Eklund, 5 stars. Side note. If you read this one on the show, please not to try and sound like a robot when you read it.
I love this show. My wife told me about this. I am listening to Case File 30 right now. I started listening to this show about 2 weeks ago. El Nasty and Ron Pond would be a great tag team. I had to stop listening to the show at work because I was laughing way too much in a very quiet room with 6 other guys. Keep up the great work. I'm going to try and figure out the PayPal. I recommend Shell's Deer brand. And of course, life will find a way.
I had to.
I had to read it as a robot.
Life will find a way.
I got one more.
Wait, do we read our other ones like robots? Like, what is that?
Well, I mean, not like that.
I do my announcer voice. I'll do it in this one. I think that's what he means. But I think it's just like an old-timey radio announcer voice.
I think he did it on purpose to try and make us do it. It's like a little people keep doing that to us. But Chris, thank you very much.
Like a robot.
This is the last one.
I don't know,
and I'm not sure. I think this is a fake 5-star review. This is from Kid Tiger from the USA. my go-to podcast. Although the guys won't admit it, Mr. Conspiracy is the true star and brilliant mind when he's on of this cast. Who knew the great mind of our generation would be a Canadian? And by this, I mean Mr. Conspiracy. Get the fuck out of here.
Come on.
Holy shit.
Has Mr. Conspiracy created a fake
Facebook page? That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. Because that's horse shit. Great mind of our generation. He wrote on a note, Zodiac Killer, not solved.
Incorrect. Jack the Ripper.
Or Jack the Ripper, unsolved. That was his note.
And he brought it to the pod and had it in his hand.
As if he couldn't remember that.
Couldn't remember it.
The great mind of our generation. God help us. I don't got much else. Anyone else want to plug anything?
Yeah, I got a couple things. First, Zell's Prolapser of the Week. This one's going out to Axie Alvarado. I'm not sure if Axie is a guy or a girl, so either way, he or she sent us some awesome new designs, t-shirt designs.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. He got an El Nasty and a Ron Pond, and Ron Pond in this, the design is legit Canadian Chuck Norris.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty, that's pretty boss.
He's got two Uzis, he's got his shirt open, his hair's poking out, he's got a Canadian bandana.
Yeah, fucking that'd great. Make a great patch.
And that just reminded me, Braden, we at the start of summer said there was a t-shirt contest going on and we never came back to it.
Oh, well, that's the winner.
Well, that is the winner. We're going to use their design, the Ron Pond, and they're going to get a free shirt. But I think what we should do is, instead of having contests because we're horrible at doing them, if you have a sweet design and you send it to us and we like it and we put it on the T Public for others to buy, you get a free shirt every time.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I like that. That's a great idea.
We'll probably just, like, T Public's been the same since I opened it, the same design. It's pretty, you know, just one design. So now we're going to start doing, I think,
is
at least
the
one.
I mean, it's the one that just says Alien Theories Theorizing.
Yeah, it's just a logo shirt.
Cool, though. It's legit cool.
It's a sweet shirt, but it is pretty awesome. I mean, every other podcast I look at has like 45 designs. So we're going to at least try and get, you know, four or five.
I love it.
Byron just seen it. It says Ron Pond approved. It's
Ron
fucking
Pond
great.
Approved. It is gold.
It's good shit.
Yeah, it's awesome.
If you have a t-shirt design that you've been working on for our contest that we never actually followed through on, send it to us, alientheorist@gmail.com. And you might get yourself a free shirt. Anyone else?
I just got one thing. I've set up a new Skype. I'm going to be doing much more recording. So if the podcast's main Skype is meteor.studios, but you can also get a hold of me, and I am just alien theorist on Skype, and then it'll say Braden ATT. I'm going to be taking more calls throughout the week, doing some, you know, kind of open channels and stuff, seeing if I can put stuff together. So add me on Skype.
I was going to say, part of our pledge in this fall here is to put up more content, and we're going to do that we all live in different, pretty much different cities around the world. So everyone's going to be doing their own thing. So if you're part of our Patreon, which is, I'm going to read a couple of the new supporters: Nicholas Bork, Shannon, Zach Force, great name, and Brian. Those are our newest ones since last time. We're going to be doing more, it's called ATT Confidential. And we're going to pretty much just a couple little short bonus episodes, one or two a month, for supporting the show and keeping it ad free forever. And that's all I got. That's all I got about Patreon. All
right.
That's our only ad we do is for ourselves. And I think that's okay.
That's allowed.
Like we always say, keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace.
So what have you guys been up to? Byron, what have you been up to?
School, man.
Byron went back to school.
He's going back, y'all. back, y'all.
Yeah.
Going back to school,
pretty
y'all.
Pretty bloody annoying. And I passed English.
Passed? Even though you fucking played PUBG every day instead of study?
No, just every second. Now I'll go to...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.